Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text before us today is Ezekiel 34, 11 through 24. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Israel was in a bad way, but they weren't in the bad way for what they thought. They were in a bad way because, well, they had abandoned their God. They may have thought it was because of the captivity they were being held under by the Babylonians. But that's not what our Lord sends His prophet Ezekiel to proclaim. He sends His prophet Ezekiel to proclaim and call to repentance those who were considered leaders of the people of Israel, those who were termed as shepherds, the kings and the prophets. For they were to be God's shepherds to guide His sheep, His chosen people. But they had failed because they put their own self before God's word. They put their own wants and desires before God's people. These bad shepherds cared more about themselves than their sheep. Therefore the Lord said to them, and this is quite a takeover, I myself will. Yahweh Himself will be their shepherd and take the place of those wicked shepherds. Now, that then means that you and I are sheep. Even though I'm called and Pastor Rafa are called in the office of the public ministry, we get to be sheep who do a little shepherding, but we're still sheep with you. And being compared to sheep is not a compliment. They're not the brightest bulbs. If you put sheep in a pen, you can leave a gate out of that pen and just lay a rod or a pole across it on the ground and they won't cross it more times than not. Yet sheep have an amazing gift. As unintelligent as they are, even to the point of recorded accounts of them being rescued from burning buildings, and as they are being rescued, turning around and trying to run back into the burning barn, they've been granted by God with the ability to know their shepherd's voice. I was reading a story that was written back from World War I. There was a shepherd who had a pen of sheep, and these Turkish soldiers had come down and were raiding his sheep. And they're leading them across a ravine onto the other side to get away from the shepherd. And the shepherd has no army to protect his flock. He has no guns to fight off the soldiers. He simply thinks, what should I do? And he goes out and he calls them as he called them every morning. And the sheep turned around from their captors and ran back to their shepherd. These sheep that are prized for their stupidity have the gift to know their shepherd's voice. And we're called sheep. Sheep are dumb, but yet they have been gifted. Do you feel like a sheep sometimes? You should. Because sin makes us all thoughtless. The faithful prophets kept saying this to Israel. They declared it over and over again as they kept pointing Israel to remember their God. Isaiah declared, the ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. Jeremiah added, even the stork in the heavens knows her time, and the turtle dove, swallow, and crane keep the time of their coming, but my people know not the rules of the Lord. You see, in this case, ignorance is not bliss at all. Sin makes us thoughtless like sheep. We know what it's like, don't we? Left to our own selves, we see it flow right out of our own bodies. We gossip, we lie, we murder in our hearts, we lust after people and we lust after power. No wonder we cry out in our liturgy, Lord, have mercy. We need help, and that help doesn't come from within, contrary to the bookstores. No wonder the Lord's angry at His shepherds. You see, the shepherds didn't care for the flock, and one of the first tasks of a shepherd is to guide them to repentance and faith, that is, to feed them. They failed. You see, feeding the sheep is one of the chief duties of a shepherd. Sure, it's exciting to find a straggler. It's wonderful to bind up their wounds. But if you don't feed them, you've wasted all your effort. Well, these faithless shepherds hadn't done any of those. So the Lord called and declared a takeover. Look at the text. I will seek them out. I will rescue them. I will bring them out into their own land. I will feed them. I myself will be their shepherd. You see, He had promised that His flock would not want. And so to keep His promise, He takes over fully and completely. Then the Lord adds at the end of our text, and I will set up over them one shepherd, My servant David, and He shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. So we got a quandary. David's dead. Is God going to raise him back up and restore the kingdom of Israel on earth? No, that's not what He's talking about. There's no reincarnation involved in this. God is going to bring into the world one out of David's line, David's greater son, who would be the shepherd of God's people. So our text today, well, it is a rebuking of all in the office of the ministry and a calling them to repent, to proclaim God's word and His word alone. It is also a prophecy of the coming Christ, Jesus, the God-man. He is the true good shepherd of His people. So we see the great reversal, don't we? David, who had been a shepherd, was made a great king. Jesus is God, King of kings and Lord of lords from all eternity, and willingly became our good shepherd. For as you know, the good shepherd, as Jesus says, comes to lay down His life for His sheep. On the cross, that is exactly what Jesus does. Jesus delivers us from the wages of sin and death by dying our death for us, by taking all of your sin, all of my sin, all our thoughtlessness, all our sheepness into Himself. And the shepherd is the Lamb of God who takes away every single sin of the world. He rose on the third day to declare to His flock that our enemies have been defeated. And still He continues to keep on protecting, leading, guiding, and feeding us. He alone has the authority, you see, to do this work, to lay down His life and take it up again. Jesus declares it in John 10, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again, and no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Jesus lives, you see, to feed His flock, the church. And the church is to be fed not on what our stomachs desire, not on what tickles our ears, but rather we are to be fed from the Lord's pastures. That is, we are to be fed on His word and with His gifts, His sacraments. His very body and blood is given to us today, in, with, and under the bread and wine. We, His sheep, need not only hear His voice, but feed in His good pasture. Our good shepherd tells us, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of My hand." So Jesus still cares for His flock. That's good, because that's us. And with His Word and His sacraments, He provides what we need to restore us in faith and strengthen our faith and enable us to be the children of God we have been called to be. How great is God's love for us? Not only did He do the work of salvation, not only has He sent His Word into this world, on top of all this, He has given His church the authority and ability to call from itself pastors who then will be charged to do the task that God has given to preach His message, to deliver His gifts, to be under shepherds of the good shepherd. And that means the pastor must pay careful attention. St. Paul says to the church pastors at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which He obtained with His own blood." The pastors are called to feed the flock. For the good shepherd's pastures, His Word and sacraments, even His gift of holy absolution, are given to the sheep to put them in relationship with their shepherd. This is the essence, then, of the pastor's work. As the resurrected Jesus said to Peter, restoring him from him denying Jesus 3 times, now Jesus tasks him 3 times. "Feed My lambs. Tend My sheep. Feed My sheep." And so we've spent a lot of time on those who proclaim the Word and the One who is the Word. But what about the sheep? Did you notice when the Lord turns to address the sheep in our text? One might have expected Him to say to the sheep, "Eat, drink, this is for you." But He didn't. You see, eating and drinking are part of the sheep's very nature. And the sad thing is this, that sheep can feed themselves lost when left on their own or when their under-shepherd doesn't care where or what they eat. You see, you don't have to tell a hungry sheep to eat. It's their very nature. Yet the Lord, who promised to feed His sheep, told them not to mess things up. Not to mess it up for other sheep. Don't muddy the water. Don't trample the food, the grass. He warned against 2 ways that are common among us of messing things up. One was for the strong to trample. That is, to claim it as their own and abuse and misuse so that others feel, well, without. To put the food underfoot. Thus the food would either be pushed into the ground and impossible, inaccessible, or it would get so full of dirt it wouldn't be of any value to eat anymore. The Lord warns us about this. False doctrine, false teachings that come into the church. Rather than unhealthy, mud-filled food, He wants us to retain the standard of healthy diet. And that diet is His Word and His sacraments that come from Him for us. The Lord also told the sheep not to trample on one another, not to push each other aside for food. This too we must be careful to avoid in doing. Yet it's amazing how insensitive we can be to each other from time to time, sometimes without even ever realizing that we've been that way. This is why, well, I often remind people, I'll often say it this way, and I know it's kind of blunt, But you're in a building with people who have stood before God and each other and confessed that they sinned in thought, word, and deed. So why are you shocked when they prove it? I know that's a little harsh, but it's the facts. The body of Christ is made up of redeemed sinners, not sinless people. And so we do, from time to time, think insensitive things or say and do insensitive things. And this is why we need God. Why Jesus had to come, had to leave His throne and come down to become a sheep for us. So we dare not gloss over the warning. We are sheep, and sin makes us thoughtless. Thanks be to God, we were called again to repentance, and we confessed our sins and received absolution. We cried out in the Kyrie, "Lord, have mercy," and then we give thanks that He most certainly does. That He has given us a feast today, we sang, the victory of our Lord. We need Jesus, for He pays for our sins and sees to our safety and security forever. As only Jesus can lead His sheep through the valley of the shadow of death to Mount Zion, to our eternal home, where there is nothing but good pastures and clear water. The good news is the Lord is pleased to be our shepherd. And we can rejoice, for Jesus is the only shepherd you and I need. The only shepherd you can die with, and the only shepherd that you will live with for all eternity. For sheep like us, no other shepherd can do. Let us rejoice and be glad today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.